Well, if you would take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Today is Sunday, March the 27th, 2022. And as I mentioned before, today and next Sunday, we are looking at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in those final hours before he was arrested. And during that time, what an evening it was. He taught them many things. He taught them about service, love, the hope, believing, prayer, persecution, and the coming of Holy Spirit. It was quite a night. And, you know, since it was the final hours before he was arrested, what he taught them was very, very significant. And we are going to be looking at the what's referred to as the Last Supper. And that is in all four Gospels, but we're going to just look at it in the Gospel of John. If you would like to see all four gospel records kind of chronologically, it's in this wonderful book, Jesus Christ, Our Passover. So he really details and kind of does it chronologically, you know, Matthew, then Luke, and puts it all together. So if you're interested in seeing that, it's there. But we're going to start in John chapter 13. Now, before the Feast of Passover, little sidebar there. A lot of people say that the Last Supper was Jesus Christ having Passover. He was not. This is one of the clues. When you put all the gospel records together, you find that it was not the Passover meal. But anyway, now before the Feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And we will see his great love for his disciples. And supper being ended, or better translated, supper taking place, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. This was very common in their culture, washing feet. They wore sandals, and the streets were dirt. Feet get dirty. And the biblical culture was, if you went to someone's house, so if this were Bible times and we came to Ed and Linda's house, the lowest servant, that was their job, was to wash your feet when you came in. We also learn from Bishop Pillai, who did such great teaching to the Western world about biblical culture, that if you were the host of the house and your guest was very prominent, a very important person, then the host himself would wash the feet of the person coming in. So this washing the feet here is very common to them. So in the middle of the meal, Jesus gets up and gets a basin and gets a towel and goes around and he's washing everybody's feet. Well, then he comes to Simon Peter in verse 6. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do to thee knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said, you're never going to wash my feet. And so when you think about it, Peter, first of all, didn't want to look at Jesus Christ as the lowest servant washing my feet, nor would he want to consider that he's a prominent person. You're not ever going to wash my feet. And Jesus answered and said, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Give me a full bath. I love Peter. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. And the reason why he knew is because he got revelation from his heavenly Father. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." And if you're familiar with the Gospels, this is not the first time that he taught them about service. But that night, he gave them an example that would be, I don't know, when you think about it, pretty hard to forget, since washing feet was common. So it'd be like every time was time for feet washing, they might remember, right? So they could be reminded of it on a regular basis. And he was not telling them to go around and wash everybody's feet they ran into. You know, "Hey, could you come here for a second? I want to wash your feet." It was an example of service, teaching them to serve. And in the church epistles that are addressed to us, we can read verses about serving, right? By love, serve one another. So as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to serve one another and serve. Okay, verse 18. "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, 'He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me.'" This phrase, "that the scripture may be fulfilled," would be better translated, "but with the result that the scripture was fulfilled." It comes up again in several places in John's gospel, similar phrases. Judas had free will. And God may know what people will choose to do, but God never oversteps their free will to make a different choice. It's very important to remember that. There is an entire chapter in this book, Jesus Christ, Our Passover, that talks and explains that phrase, "that the scripture might be fulfilled." And so if you'd like to look at that, that is some good information. In this instance, a prophecy about the one who would betray the Christ was fulfilled. It's not to be understood that Judas had no choice. "Oh, I gotta fulfill the scripture, so I guess I have to be the traitor." Judas had free will. Just so you understand that. And by the way, here's the full verse that Jesus Christ was referring to. It's Psalm 41:9, if you want to make a note of it. And it says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." That's deep. And it's interesting because Psalm 41 says, "He ate, who did eat of my bread." Again, knowing some of the culture in Bible times, most of the time the host would have guests and the host would stand and not eat with people. Because in the Bible culture, to eat with someone meant you were partaking of the salt covenant, because almost all food had salt in it. And the salt covenant was a sacred covenant. You did not share salt with just anybody. And if you did, then you had a commitment to that person. You would never hurt them. You would never harm them. You would lay down your life before anything bad would happen to them. So that makes that verse in Psalm, "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." And Judas was there at the meal that they were all partaking together. So, man, verse 19, "Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receives whosoever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me, that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. A lot of heavy stuff coming up for him. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what the scriptures say about what they are going to do to the Messiah, the Christ. He knows he's sitting there at the table with Judas. I'd be troubled too, wouldn't you? When Jesus said, we're in verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. That must have shocked everybody. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. So here's one person that is leaning on Jesus, great intimate friendship. And Jesus just said, one of you are going to betray me. And Peter's like, ask him who? Ask him. You know, you're right there. Ask him. Don't you love Peter? He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, he was kind of like the treasurer of the group, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, Passover, or that he should give something to the poor. So nobody knew what Jesus was talking about when he said, whatever you're going to do, go do it quickly. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. It's so significant, the sop, and I wanted to read to you from this book that I wrote called What Does It Mean? I have a chapter in here about the sop. Also got a chapter in here about washing feet. But again, it's significant to know some of this biblical culture because it gives us greater understanding of what took place. By the time of the meal, Judas had already arranged to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. The two most honored seats at a meal were those to the right and left of the host or the master. That means the disciple whom Jesus loved, who rested his head on Jesus' bosom as an act of deep concern, love, and intimate friendship, was sitting at one of the positions of honor at this meal. Likewise, for Jesus to be able to give Judas the sop, Judas would have also had to be near Jesus, quite possibly in the other honored position. The word sop simply means a small portion, a little bit, a morsel. In our Western culture today, we do not use the word sop. We use phrases like a dab, a little piece, or a small bite. Sop is just a word for a small piece of food. In biblical times, it would have been customary to have a common dish on the table that everyone shared. The flat, thin bread they ate was often used to dip into the common dish and wrap it around a small piece of food, a sop. The host or master of the house gave the sop to the person to whom he wanted to show his greatest love and esteem. That was the biblical culture. He did that by dipping into the common dish and then placing the sop in the person's mouth. This showed to all those present, and especially to the person receiving the sop, the love and honor he had for him. Picturing this scene gives me chills. Jesus knew Judas was about to betray him. Judas knew Jesus knew. And yet Jesus gave him the sop. By extending so much honor and love to Judas, Jesus gave him a chance to change his plans. The incredible and unconditional love Jesus demonstrated here is truly amazing. So when you understand the sop and you read that, you go, wow, he actually gave him the sop. What an example for us to follow. We're in verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you, you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Love, love, love. Yeah. How often in the church epistles does it tell us to love each other? Many times. In fact, in one place it says we're to be especially good to the believers. Especially good. Right? If you and I are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we would be those who love one another with all our quirks. Verse 36, Simon Peter said, Lord, where are you going? Where are you going? Jesus answered, whither I go, you can't not follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. Peter said, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for you, for your sake. I'll die for you. Jesus said, will you? Will you lay down your life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Wow. Let not your heart be troubled. We're in chapter 14. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The hope of his return. And as you know, in the church epistles, there are many details about Christ coming back, his return. And here he is teaching them about the hope. He is coming back. And you know, right after Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, the very first words from God by way of an angel was, this same Jesus which is taken up from you in heaven into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. First thing God said to people, he's coming back. And he really is coming back. And so as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we hang on and hold on to that great hope that we have. Boy, look at the things he's teaching them. Serve one another, love one another, the hope, and believing. Verse 1 said, you know, believe in God, believe also in me. So we're down to verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? If we don't even know where you're going, how could we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, just show us the Father, okay? And that'd be enough. It'll suffice. Can you just show us the Father? Jesus said, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Thou sayest then, show us the Father. Oh, what a night this must have been. What a night this must have been. Believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? And of course that would be by way of Holy Spirit. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So here he is back to believing. Believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Believing. And so as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe God's word. And in that context of believing comes the next statement. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. What a statement when you think about the works he did, the healings and the miracles and all that he did. And he said this right after talking about believing. Well, we got a little growing to do, huh? The works that I do, you'll do also. Oh, my goodness. And, of course, we know from God's word that he did those works by operating the manifestations of Holy Spirit. Verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And now he's going to talk about prayer. Prayer. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then what do? You pray. You pray and you pray. Because Jesus said to pray. Not only here, but other places as well. And again, the final hours, what he was sharing with them must have been very significant. Sometimes over the years when I've read this section of the Last Supper, I thought, was every meal at night like this with Jesus Christ? Hope they have video. Love to watch. All right, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And now he's going to teach him about Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it seeth him, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Spirit of God will be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Kind of remind you of Christ in you, the hope of glory. He that keeps my commandments and keepeth them, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him by way of Spirit. Isn't that awesome? Mm-hmm. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives it, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you'd be rejoicing. You would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. Holy Spirit is coming. A great topic that night. Very important. And in Acts chapter 1, keep your finger, we're coming right back here. But the last thing Jesus Christ said before he ascended. In Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. The very last thing he said, Holy Spirit's coming. You will be endued with power from on high. And 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, Now concerning spiritual gifts, and it should be spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. God doesn't want us ignorant of spiritual matters. So back to the Gospel of John, teaching them about Holy Spirit and as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ then, we should not be ignorant of spiritual matters. We should not be ignorant of the gift of Holy Spirit that God has made available to us. Are we in chapter, or we're in chapter 14? Chapter 14, verse 30. Yes. Let's read some. What a night. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. My goodness. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them in a fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Love, love, love. Mm-hmm. Boy, did he promote that. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you... Gee, is he going to repeat it again? Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. For you're my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, I've chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring... I have not chosen... Verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you... Again? Love one another. Okay. Oh, it's wonderful. Verse 18, watch this. If the world hate you, you know it hated me before it hated you. Don't be surprised. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I said unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they'll keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hates me hates my Father also. A great Bible teacher once said, you tell me what you think of Jesus Christ, I'll tell you how far you'll go spiritually. Dr. Worrell said that. He that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. And again, understanding this phrase, this has come to pass with the result that the word is fulfilled. Not that they didn't have a choice. Verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, back to that topic again, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They'll put you out of the synagogue. We would say, cancel. They'll cancel you. You know, when you get excommunicated, you no longer can come to the synagogue anymore. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time will come that whosoever kills you will think that they are doing God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asked me, whither goest thou? But because I said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he, or it, the Spirit of God, will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he speak, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is he talking about here? What is this that he saith unto us, a little while and then, and you shall see me not, and again a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, what is this that he's saying? A little while. We cannot tell what he says. Now when Jesus knew they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. When they saw the resurrected Christ, they were pretty joyful, weren't they? A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. And in that day, speaking, you know, when you have Holy Spirit, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive. Why? That your joy may be full. God wants us full of joy, joyful. Ask, ask. And remember the parable, men shall not faint, right? But, you know, to always pray and not faint. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but The time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. You don't need to pray to me. No, I'm not going to ask the Father for you. Look at this verse, verse 27. For the Father himself loves you because you're so holy, because you never sin, because you lead such a beautiful, holy life. The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? I do. Do you believe Jesus Christ came from God? I do. The Father himself loves us. The Father himself loves you. And when you get to the church epistles, those that are born again, it says nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. Father himself loves you. What a night. I know we're probably going a little long today, but we'll be finished here soon. I came forth, verse 28. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that you know all things and need not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, mental pressures, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Peace. Remember what he said in chapter 14, verse 27. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Good words for our day and time? Peace. Have some peace. That's God's will for us, even in the midst of all the craziness going on around us in this world today. God wants us to be peaceful and not full of anxiety. So, what a night of teaching. He taught them about service, love, the hope. Believe, pray, don't be shocked by persecution. And one of the big topics, of course, the coming of Holy Spirit, God's gift of Holy Spirit. What follows here in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, is a prayer. We're not going to read it. But how awesome for God to show us what he prayed about shortly before he was arrested. So I'd encourage you to read that this week. And as you know, during this Last Supper is when Jesus Christ instituted the memorial that we refer to as Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper. That event is not in John's Gospel, but it's in all three of the other Gospels. Interesting, isn't it, how God put that together? We will look at the records of the Holy Communion, the bread and wine, in 2 weeks when we do communion here. But next week, we're going to look at some more details after the supper, before he was arrested. Some wonderful things to see there. So that's part one of his final hours. And next week, we'll see some more things. And I really hope that in doing this over these number of weeks that we all, myself included, gain a greater appreciation of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for your wonderful word that gives us so many details of that final time that he had with his disciples before his arrest. Thank you for what a wonderful Lord and Savior we have, what a master teacher. Father, what a great privilege for us to think of ourselves as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for all that you have given to every person who is born again, every person who confesses Jesus as Lord and believes in their heart God raised him from the dead. How blessed we are and how thankful we are for our wonderful Savior. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen.